Jennifer Lee Croft versus Commonwealth, Mr. Phillips.
Good morning, Your Honors.
And the Commonwealth has waived oral argument.
That's correct, Your Honor. And I'll be very brief. May it please the court, if I was smart, I probably would have waived oral argument as well.
Well, let's see if we can make it real easy for you. Would you adopt the position that Barden controls the outcome of this case?
I do, Your Honor. And the only reason I'm here is that case was, the opinion was released May 12th. There's still time in which the Commonwealth could appeal that. I just want to put forth the alternate reasoning, which I placed in my brief, that 272 in and of itself is limited to the period of time for which a person is suspended or revoked.
Is it necessary? I mean, are we required to apply the holding in Barden to a statute, to a criminal statute? That was a traffic offense. That was a Title 46.2 offense.
Well, it was under 301, which is a misdemeanor.
This is 18.2272.
That's correct. The reasoning in that case, though, did look at the Mr. Barden was suspended both for fines and costs as well as his DUI conviction. And so the court in that case decided that it had been more than a year since his DUI conviction, so that suspension and revocation no longer applied. That also be the case in this case with Mr. Croft. My only concern is if the Commonwealth appeals, and I'm not aware that they intend to appeal the Barden decision, but just in case they do, there's an alternate grounds for reversing the trial court, and that's that 272 in and of itself limits its applicability to the initial suspension or revocation time. It specifically says if a person drives during the period of time for which they are suspended or revoked upon conviction. And there's a lot of other words in there, but if you follow the rabbit hole of the code references, they all lead back to a suspension or revocation starting with the conviction and lasting, in his case, 1 year.
The statute also makes it clear that the period of suspension doesn't begin to run until the defendant surrenders his license.
That's true, but that's in another code section. And so 272 is really very limited. It's not saying that in their brief, the Commonwealth argued that this should be looked at similar to driving as a habitual offender, which is more of a offense.
And they point to 18.2271.
Right. In 271, in that case, the Barden rationale would apply because there.
Well, I don't think Barden didn't address that, did it?
No, but it stated that a DUI revocation ends 1 year after the conviction.
But when does it start? When does the 1 year period start? If he hasn't surrendered his license, then the 1 year hasn't even started to run.
Well, and I think that's why you get back to 272, where it says the period of time upon conviction. So it's limited to the period of time upon conviction, which is 1 year. So he may still be in a revoked status, but it's limited to that 1 year period after his conviction. And in this case, there's no evidence one way or another whether he surrendered his license or not. The DMV transcript does not show anything in regard to that. I made the argument at trial that it's clear he must have surrendered his license at some point because he's got so many suspensions, prior suspensions.
But on this particular case, the General Assembly seems to be suggesting that there's an affirmative obligation on the part of the defendant to do something to begin the running of the one-year period of suspension.
And the DMV record shows that the DMV at least started the one-year clock and that it ended in 2009. So there is some evidence of that. Otherwise, the revocation would have never started. So unless there's other questions, that's all I wanted to...
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will greet counsel.